This week, we're kicking off our new series titled Transformed. That's going to go along with our life groups. And over the next 7 weeks, we're going to look at seven key areas of our lives that God wants to transform. And the main scripture of our series is found in Romans 12:2. You may be familiar with the scripture. It says this. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, the way you think, right, determines the way you feel, and the way you feel often determines the way you act, right? So if we want to change something in our lives that we don't like, you don't start with your actions. You don't even start with your feelings. The reality is you have to start with your thoughts. You see, if you can change the way you think about something, that will change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel about something, that will change the way you act about those things. I think this is why Jesus tells us to come as we are, right? He tells us to come as we are because he knows the only way we're truly going to change is when we allow him to renew our minds. When we allow him to help us see things from a different perspective. When we allow him to help us think differently. Well, we're going to take this principle from Romans 12:2 and use it to help us be transformed in seven key areas of our lives. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about being transformed in our spiritual health. We're going to talk about being transformed even in our physical health, okay? We're going to talk about being transformed in our mental health, in our emotional health, in our relational health. And here's a struggling one. How about our financial health? And then even our vocational health, all right? We're going to look at these areas of our lives and ask some tough questions about how do we change the way we think about them? Because if we can change the way we think about them, it will change the way we feel about them, which will ultimately change the way we act and the way we respond to them and to others in our life. And that creates what we're talking about here, transformation. Because that's the goal, right? To be transformed. Transformation is something that, from the biblical sense, it changes us from emptiness to fullness. It changes us from a life of defeat to a life of victory. It changes us from being people that are insecure to being people who can walk with courage. It helps us basically to become who God desires us to be. And this morning we're going to start by talking about being transformed in our spiritual health, in our spiritual life, our spiritual relationship with the Lord. And one of the first things I want to say is this. The further away you get from God spiritually, the more you conform to the patterns of this world. But the closer you get to God spiritually, the more your life is going to be transformed. We can see this throughout the scriptures. You know, let's take Paul for an example. When he finally met Jesus face to face, right? Literally, bam. When he met Jesus face to face, he was radically transformed from what? He was a murderer of Christians, right? And he was transformed from a murderer of Christians into an apostle of love who loved God and loved people dearly. His life was transformed when he came face to face with Jesus, when he was close to Jesus. How about Isaiah? Isaiah was transformed from a depressed person into a courageous person when he met God, when he came close to the Lord. And then Moses. I love the story of Moses. Moses got so close to God, the Bible says not only was he transformed spiritually, he was transformed literally in his appearance, right? They said he glowed after being with the Lord. How many of you, wouldn't that be awesome to be that close to the Lord where you just had this radiance that just glowed? We know we talk about let your light shine. I mean, that's how you let your light shine. And it's true, the closer we get to God, the greater our light can shine. But Moses was transformed in his appearance because he was close to God. And I'm guessing most of us, I hope most of us, desire to be close to God. The problem is that we live in a fallen world. And oftentimes, we find ourselves farther away from God than we want to be, right? We find ourselves drifting. Isaiah 53:6 tells us, we like sheep have all gone astray. Like sheep, we wander, right? You know, sheep, they're not the smartest animals in the world. I don't know if that offends you, that Jesus refers to us as sheep, right? But we're not the smartest creatures in the world ourselves, right? We tend to wander. Sheep, you know, they can just be eating, and next thing they know, they wander into a pack of wolves, you know, and don't even realize where they're going, don't even realize that the shepherd's way over there. And the reality is we do the same thing. Maybe it's not intentional, but oftentimes we wander, we get caught up in life and the busyness of life, and when we finally lift up our heads to look where we're at, we realize we've drifted and God's over there. So the question is, how do we get close to God? How do we stay close to God, especially after we've drifted away from God? How do we get back to Him in that close relationship that He desires from us? Well, fortunately, we have a story in the Bible on how to get back to God and how to get close to the Father, especially when we failed. It's a well-known story. As a matter of fact, I've spoke about it before here in different contexts. It's one of those scriptures that you can speak probably about 4 or 5, maybe 10, 15 times and pull something new out of it. But it's a story that Jesus told out of His Word. It's the story of the prodigal son. And it's found in Luke chapter 15. And many of us are familiar with this story. The son that leaves his father and squanders everything. And so we're going to read this scripture this morning. And I realized I went off without bringing my Bible up here. Thankfully, I have it in my notes, so I can read it out of my notes here this morning. I knew I was forgetting something this morning. I kept thinking, what am I forgetting? And the Bible is one of those. Hopefully, there's not something else I forgot. But Luke 15, 11 through 24, we're going to read this morning. This is what it says. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I love this story. What an amazing reminder of the love of the Father, right? Because that's what this is. It's a picture of the love of the Father. When you look at this story from a godly perspective, you see God's desire for us to be close to Him. The Father just wanted to be close to His Son. He desires us to come to Him. He wants relationship with us. Now, the reality is we all wander at times in our life. Now, whether that's to the extreme of the prodigal son here in this story, maybe some of us, I know myself, I was the prodigal son in the Marine Corps. I wandered to the depths of the worst. But whether it's to the extreme of the prodigal son or whether it's just the fact that there are times throughout our day, throughout our week, where we allow ourselves to forget the presence of God in our lives. You know, how many times do we go through our week not even thinking about God until when? Until the next Sunday comes around. It happens so often in our life. We get so busy with life and the things going on around us. The fact is, we must continue to come back to Him. We must continue to seek Him. We must continue to draw near to God, to be close to the Lord. That's His desire. Because when we're close to God, that's when transformation happens in our life. That's where we become more like Him. So how do we? How do we do it? How do we stay closer? How do we come back to the Lord? These scriptures this morning really give us three steps in returning to God and how we come back to Him. Whether we've fallen just a little, right? Whether we've just slipped off the path a little, or whether we're out in the bushes somewhere with blackberry bushes all over us, whatever it may be. How do we come back to Him? Well, these scriptures give us three steps to returning to God and being transformed in our spiritual health. And I want to share these three things with you this morning. The first step is this. We must come to our senses. We must come to our senses, right? In verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? Nothing's going to happen in our lives, especially over the next 7 weeks. As we talk about being transformed and wanting to be transformed, nothing's going to happen in our lives through this series until we realize something needs to change in us. Until we realize that we need to be transformed. You know, if we think we're good, life is good, I'm great, my relationship with God is the best, you know, it's ever been, and maybe it is, but if we think that we have nothing else, nowhere else to grow, if we think everything's dandy, then you can probably skip the next 7 weeks, okay? I'll give you that freedom. If you're at that place where everything's perfect and good and you're fully transformed, you can skip the next 7 weeks. Because the reality is, change can't take place in our lives until we come to our senses, until we realize we all have areas where we need to grow. We all have areas that we need to come closer to the Lord. And until we come to that place where we realize we need more of Jesus and less of us, whether we're new Christians or people who have been Christians for years, we have to come to that place. We have to be desperate for God, desperate for relationship with Him. You see, the prodigal son was desperate. And it was that desperation that helped him come to his senses. It helped him realize, you know what, I have things in me that need to change. Something's wrong here. I need to fix it. He knew something needed to change, and when we're truly desperate for the Lord, that's when transformation begins to take place in our lives. Are we at that place? I hope so. I hope that we're all at a place in our life where we're hungry for the Lord. We're hungry to grow in Him. We're hungry to see change. We're hungry to get closer to Him. Because if we're not, you know what it means? It just means God's going to let you get to that place where you finally come to your senses, right? We're laughing because we know we've been there before and we've got to that place. God's just going to let you get to that place. Now, some would say, well, why would God let us go to that place? Why would God want that? Why would He let us get to that, those difficulties and challenges in our life where we're just fed up. And the reason is, He loves you too much not to let you get there. He knows that we won't truly come back to Him. We won't truly seek Him until we come to grips with the reality that He is the only answer. That it's always about Him. God does everything He does in our lives out of love because He wants to draw us back to Him. He wants to be close to us, and because of that, He's willing to do whatever it takes to help us come to our senses. And for some of us, we go farther than others. I've been there, and so now I want to come to my senses immediately when I start to find myself drifting. The first step in true life transformation is coming to our senses and realizing God is the answer. The second thing that I think we can learn from these scriptures about being transformed in our spiritual health is we must confess our sins. We must confess our sins. In verse 18 it says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. You see, we have to face up to the fact that we've drifted from the Lord. When we find ourselves drifting from God, we have to come to the realization that sin has brought us to that place. And we can't let our sin keep us from drawing near to God. Let me read to you Isaiah 59:2. This is what it says. It says, your sins have separated you from your God and have hidden His face from you. That's a horrible scripture. Think about it. Your sin has separated you and He has hidden His face from you. Whoa, I don't want that. Do you guys want that? You see, the reality is we can't be close to God when we have sin in our life, when there's things that we're struggling with. It's our sin that separates us from Him. Now, whether it's what the world would call, you know, little sins or big sins, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin, and they all separate us from Him. Let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed and felt like God was a million miles away? Have you ever felt just that distance from the Lord? Have you been struggling and wondered why God seems to be nowhere, at least from your perspective, seems to be nowhere in sight? I think oftentimes it's because of sin in our lives that we haven't dealt with. And it's those sins that bring that separation from the Lord, that bring that distance between us and Him. Now the reality is God hasn't gone anywhere, okay? God's scripture says He will never leave us nor forsake us, okay? But the reality is we've drifted from Him. We've allowed sin to get in our way of us and the Lord. It's our sin that separates us from Him. And we've moved away by making things, stuff, more important than Him. Right? We've moved away from God by loving other things more than we love Him. And that's a challenging one. You know, the biggest one that my wife and I struggle with? Our kids. Sometimes we love our kids more than God. You're like, well, you should love your kids. Yes, but God needs to be first. And sometimes we put our kids above God, and it brings that distance between us and Him. It's our sin that pulls us away. And the only way we're going to get back to where we want to be with the Lord is by realizing our failures, is realizing that we've put separation because of sin in our lives and doing something about it. We, like the prodigal son, have to confess our sins. Lord, I'm sorry. I've put my son and daughter above you. I've put my work above you. I've put ministry above you. I've put whatever, you fill in the blanks, above you. We have to confess our sins, and we can't let our shame keep us from doing what we need to do. Because a lot of times when we struggle and fail, right, we let our shame keep us. I think a lot of times we view God as this kind of rigid, angry ruler, right, that's going to let us have it when we tell him our failures. He already knows your failures, okay? He knows them. But we think he's going to be like, I told you not to do that. That's the view sometimes we have of God. But we have to realize the Father in this story, it's showing us what the Father is like, and it's a perfect picture of God, a loving, compassionate Father who cares more about us than he does about the sin that separated us. He cares more about us than he does about the failures that have caused us to fall. He's a loving, compassionate Father who wants us to return to him, who wants us to come and be close. When we've drifted, his desire more than anything is that we would acknowledge those things so that we can return and be close with him. We're told in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to read us a riot act. Is that what it says? No. Confess our, he's faithful, forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there are times where we have to face consequences because of our sin, but the reality is God embraces us and draws us in, and if we allow him to do that, he will help us through those consequences, and that's the amazing thing about the God that we serve. When we confess our sins, God's able to get rid of them, which means that there's nothing there now separating us from God anymore. We can have that closeness so we once again can draw near to him. Now, in our life groups this week, we're actually going to study 7 habits of spiritual health. We're going to walk through 7 habits that we need to learn to really be spiritual healthy. But I'm going to give you a bonus 8th one this morning, all right? I think this, that we must get in the habit of giving ourselves a regular spiritual checkup, all right? We have to get in the habit of giving ourselves a regular spiritual checkup. Let me explain what I mean. You know, oftentimes we go to the doctor, right, for checkups. You know, especially I'm realizing as you get older, you have to go to the doctor more often for checkups. You got to make sure that everything's working that needs to be working and stuff, right? And so we go to the doctor for these checkups because if it isn't working the way that it should be, we need to figure out what the problem is and do something about it. Well, the same is true when it comes to our spiritual health. We have to regularly take a long, hard look at our lives. And we have to make sure that there aren't things in our lives that shouldn't be there. We even have to ask the Lord, Lord, are there things in me that need to change? Are there things in me that are separating me from you? And oftentimes it's just things too, like our thought life, right? You know, sometimes we can allow our thought life to take us places that they shouldn't, and that can draw us away from the Lord. Sometimes for me it's anger or something that builds up, you know, those things that build up and those little sins that creep into our life and pull us away from the Lord. And sometimes we're not even aware of it. What do you mean I've got an issue? What are you talking about, right? It's those kind of things, you know, when our spouses, you know, our husbands or our wives or someone or our parents or someone that we know close is trying to point something out. What are you talking about? I don't have an anger issue. You must have a problem. Oh, wait, did I just say that? Right? But we have to have those spiritual checkups to make sure that there aren't things keeping us from being able to draw near to the Lord. What are those things that have creeped in that need to change? And if there are things that are there, we need to deal with them. We need to confess them to the Lord and allow him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we can come back to that relationship that he desires from each of us. If we want to be transformed in our spiritual health, we must come to our senses. We must confess our sins. And then thirdly, the last one, we must become his servants. It's interesting at the beginning of this story. We hear the prodigal son say, give me my share, right? You can almost hear the tone, you know, give me my share. I deserve it. It's my right, right? He says, give me my share. But then later in the story, Luke 15:19, right? He plans to go back to his father and say this. He says, I'm going to go back to my father. And this one is say, make me like one of your hired men. Or in other words, make me your servant. Notice the change here. He started off by saying, give me. And now he's saying, what? I give myself. There's a big difference. But that's what we call transformation. When our heart moves from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, that's when transformation is happening in our lives. Where are we at in this journey? Where are we at in this area of me, my desires, my wants, versus his desires and his wants? Is it still all about us? Or are we learning that it's really all about him? Is he Lord of our lives? Or are we still Lord of our lives? And maybe he's Lord of our lives in these things, but we're still Lord of our life in these things. This right here, this is a challenging one. And let me encourage you a little bit in this, okay? You see, this is the kind of transformation I hope that all of us are desiring. But I want you to know this. As you sit here and you're like, oh man, self-centeredness versus God-centeredness. Please know, this kind of transformation doesn't take place overnight. It's not like one day you're like, yeah, yesterday I was me-centered. Today, I'm God-centered. Amazing, isn't it? Anyone tells you that? Well, yeah. Just shake your head and walk away. This kind of transformation is the kind of transformation that takes time. I can tell you this is one I've been working on for a long time. I've known for years that God needs to be the center. And I keep wandering back to me being the center. And honestly, I think this is one of those that it's a lifelong process, I think, for us of truly being transformed in this way. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. I think, I don't know, do I have this one to put up on the board? I don't remember. Yes, I do. This is what it says. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And it says there, we are what? We are being transformed, right? Which means it's a process, okay? So I want that to be an encouragement to you, that it's a process. Don't beat yourself up if you're not there yet. Continue to push towards that. But the reality is, it's a process. And that process happens as we learn to make him Lord. As we learn to continue to give things to him. As we learn to move from God give me to God I give you me. Right? That's a big transformation. That's spiritual transformation, and that's what God is desiring from all of us. You see, the reality is God is just waiting for each of us to continue to come back to him. Just like the father in this story, right? He was waiting, right? He said he saw him off in a distance. God is just waiting. Every time we wander, God's just sitting there. And I wonder if sometimes he isn't kind of just walking with us a little bit, you know? But there's just that sin that's keeping us, and he's just waiting for us to confess. He's waiting for us to come to our senses, to confess it, so that that barrier can come down and he can just embrace us and say, my son, my daughter, right? He wants to embrace us. He wants us to be close to him because he knows that's where true spiritual transformation is going to take place in our lives, when we're close to him. You see, we have to realize our need for him. That's coming to our senses. We have to remove any barriers that keep us from him. That's identifying and confessing our sins. And we have to give him our lives. That's becoming his servants, making him Lord. If we can do these things, then we will experience transformation in our spiritual lives. I believe that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And Lord, though this word is extremely challenging, and Lord, I know many of us have areas in this that we have to work on. The reality is Lord, it's a process. And you are bringing us through that process, and you are patient with us through that process, Lord. You desire for us to be transformed in our spiritual life. You desire for us to draw near to you, to be close to you, Lord, so that we can be transformed, that we can experience you in our life. And Lord, this morning I want to pray for each of us. Are there things in our life where we need to come to our senses, where we need to realize that this area we have been holding on to, or this area we've put certain things above you that we shouldn't? Help us come to our senses. And as we come to our senses, Lord, help us confess. Help us give that to you, Lord. As your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. We can walk in your righteousness in the midst of our failures, Lord, by simply acknowledging them and giving them to you. And as we do that, Lord, then help us to truly become the servants that you've called us to be, to walk in you, to love you, to serve you, to give you our life, Lord, every area of it, to seek to do what you desire of us, not us, not what we want, but what you want in each and every one of us, Lord. Teach us, show us how to walk this out, Lord. Show us every day how to take these simple principles of really taking a look at our life. Are there things where we need to come to our senses? Are there things that we need to confess? And how do I continue to lay my life down before you, Lord? Teach us and show us how to do that. Lord, we thank you for this word. May it penetrate our hearts. May you continue to challenge us to be transformed in our spiritual health and our spiritual lives with you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.